I'm Nick, and you're listening to the Discipleship for Busy Blokes podcast. We're in conversation with ordinary blokes from all walks of life, working out what it means to follow Jesus. This podcast is a part of Empower, which is a ministry of the Elim Pentecostal movement, reaching and serving men all around the world. Our vision is that all men have the potential to join a great band of brothers in Christ. The easiest way for you to connect with Empower is via our business WhatsApp. Click the link in the message notes that come with this podcast and send us a message. You can join loads of other blokes already receiving our encouraging and helpful resource broadcasts every single week. We are online at empower.zone, and we're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search Elim Empower. Join in the conversation and get yourselves connected. It's my great pleasure to welcome Luca Russo to Discipleship for Busy Blokes podcast. Welcome along, Luca.
Hello, Nick. Hi.
It's really nice to have you on the show. We work together at Birmingham City Church, and it's been my hope and wish for quite a while to have a chat to you. So just tell us a little bit about what you do at BCC, if we can start with that. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. First of all, it's a great pleasure for me to be here with you today. Yes, here at BCC, I take care of the old production side of church that we are doing in these days. So it's pretty challenging sometimes, but very, very exciting, and I absolutely love it. So my job literally goes from mixing the videos that the church sees on Sunday morning, taking care of the music production and little worship productions that we do, and, you know, all sorts of things that are related to producing videos and stuff.
So we can sometimes see you kind of running around making sure cameras are working and making sure stuff's happening on a Sunday.
Absolutely.
But you're also a pastor for a segment of our church, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I work with the young adults, with B1 at BCC. And, you know, it's a great team to be in. There are loads of young, enthusiastic Christians in that team. And it's a great pleasure for me and an honor to lead the sessions with them. Many times, like every time, I would say, it's very challenging for me in the sense that great discussions come up and really inspire me, actually, as we all talk together, you know, through our sessions. So yeah, it's a great team.
And you also do like a fair amount of worship leading as well, don't you?
Yeah, not as much as I used to. Yeah, but that's worship is a big chunk, is a big slice of the cake in my life.
Yeah, sure. And I know that you've been involved in some of our BCC worship videos, and sometimes you take a turn on a Sunday leading worship for us as a church, and it's always really good when you do that.
Oh, thank you.
Really good. Good to get a feel for what you do. And just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in a Christian family where my father was a pastor of a church. He was actually the founder and then the pastor for many, many years of the church. So I literally grew up into church, listening my father preach and other preachers, obviously. And I got involved into ministry very young with worship. And then I just, you know, as I was growing, I kind of realized that there was nothing else in life that I wanted to do apart from serving God. And this is literally where the Lord has taken me through, you know. So I went to Bible college when I was about 20, and I studied in a worship school at the Bible college as well to get in trained for worship. And then I just went back and I dived into ministry.
And whereabouts in the world are you from? Because you've got a very distinctive and appealing accent. Just tell the listeners which part of the world you come from.
Yes, I'm Italian. More specifically, I'm from Sicily, which is the island in the south of Italy. And that's where my strong accent comes from.
Sure, you have tremendous English. We always remark
on
team how good your English is.
And, thanks.
Like if I was expected to manage in Italian like you manage in English, I would be lost. So you do also well.
Well, Italian is not that difficult. You know, you just use your hands and, you know, half of the job is done. Isn't it?
Fantastic, yeah. And you're married and you've got a boy as well, haven't you?
Yes, I am. I'm married to Deborah, which is a fantastic woman. Not only saying that because, you know, if she hears me say something different, I'm in trouble, but she really is. She's a fantastic woman. And then we've got Vito, which is our son. He's 7 years old. Fantastic boy.
Really, really good. Just tell me a little bit about your journey to faith in Christ. When did you first make a decision to start following Jesus with your life?
Yeah, as I said before, growing up in church, growing up in a Christian family, kind of paved the way for me to make that decision when I was very young. Growing up, I was listening about Jesus, and in my young age, experiencing in little things what faith was, and it was very real to me since very young. So when I was literally a teenager, in a youth camp, actually, that was the time that I said, you know what, I really want to accept publicly Jesus in my life. So this
Amazing.
Is what I did.
And kind of, did you feel any different after that, or did you feel like that was just like a sort of natural progression for you?
It was a natural progression, but it felt amazing. I was so happy. It felt like I did accomplish something super important for my life.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, really good to hear that story.
Yeah.
And now, of course, you're ministering here in Birmingham City Church, and you're on team and so on. Just a great story. Thank you, Luca. I wanted to ask you, can you think of any times in your faith journey where kind of God has really come through for you? Maybe just share with some of our listeners a
Absolutely.
Time when that's happened.
I'm just going to give you a wide one and then a little more in details one. So first of all, in our Christian journey, we know that we have to grow and improve in many different areas. One of the areas where I think I kind of got through, in a sense, if I can say that without being too sounding too arrogant, I think God taught me that whatever I'm going through, specifically in this case financially, He's got it. Unfortunately, Sicily is not the richest place on the earth. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, unless you've got strong families, like financial, you know, how can I say in English, Nick, without...
What, like savings and backing?
Yeah,
and
yeah, things
foundation.
Like that.
Yeah.
Then you really, really have to work hard. And most of the times you struggle.
Yeah.
And probably because of my background and... for how many times I've seen God coming through for us and for my family in that sense financially, this is one of those things in my life that I don't want to worry about anymore. It's like it's behind me, you know. Even though even sometimes I find myself in financial crisis or I'm going through hardship, this is not anymore one of those things that I battle with, because I know that God has my back, you know. I found out that most of the times God likes to intervene right at, you know, at
oh,
the
man.
Last
does he just
turn before the finish line,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
The 13th hour, it's
yeah.
crazy. Yeah, yeah,
it's true. But he does always come through. So this is a certainty, something that I really know. It's unshakable in my life. And then something else, I can tell you a little very quick story about our time that I was taken to the hospital with some health issues.
Uh-huh.
My lungs, I had something that we call in Italian, I'm going to say in Italian,
yeah, go
and
ahead.
You tell
yeah.
me if it makes any sense in English. Bronchite, does it make sense?
It does, yeah, because in English we have the bronchial tubes inside
yes.
the lungs, so we have share that same word root. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. So those were really, really wounded, and I had loads of seeing the X-rays. I wasn't really in a bad place, so I was taken to the hospital
uh-huh.
As an emergency, and I was kept there. And the same night, my father helped me out with all the, you know, all the pajamas and everything that you would take to the hospital, and we did pray together. We were like, you know, let's just give this to God. We did pray.
Yeah.
And make long story short, I ended up staying at the hospital for 1 week just because the doctors didn't know what happened to me and they just wanted to find out. So they were coming and checking me out and I was absolutely fine. My breath was okay. And I was just fine. So they redid all the X-rays twice after that. And all the scars and all the wounds that I had in my... Say the word again.
Bronchial tubes.
Yes.
It's actually what we get the word in English bronchitis from.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, yeah, I yeah. had the bronchitis.
You had bronchitis.
Yes.
Sure.
On those X-rays that I did later, nothing shown. So I
and
was
so
completely healed.
They kept you in because they were completely mystified as to what had happened.
Yeah. And out of a sense of responsibility, they didn't just want to send me away, you
sure,
know, because
yeah.
they
mm-hmm.
literally had no idea what happened. When my father came to pick me up, the doctor talked to my father. He took him aside and he said, Mr. Russo, I'm not really sure what to say about this, but it seems like a miracle. And, you know, imagine a doctor saying, it seems like a miracle to a pastor. <You know? laughs> Yeah. My father goes, yeah, you know what? I know what that was.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What a great story. Yeah. That's just really, really good. And how old were you when that happened?
I was about 17.
Let's just pursue that a little bit more. If there's a bloke listening to the podcast who's maybe a little bit skeptical about this or hasn't seen a breakthrough in a particular area, have you got any kind of counsel for them? What should they do? I mean, clearly it starts in prayer, doesn't it?
But yeah.
Is there anything else they can do?
Sometimes as men, we feel like we have to make it work and we have the solutions.
That we have to be the fixer of our own problem.
Yeah, the truth is, it's not true. You know, and we just need to let go and surrender and accept the fact that there is somebody else that is not us that can actually fix things. Yeah. And that's Jesus, that's God, isn't it?
Yeah.
So sometimes we just have to let go and you know, and put ourselves in God's hands.
Yeah, it's very easy for us as blokes to forget that actually we're sons of a heavenly household.
Mm-hmm.
And in that heavenly household, there is a king and a high priest for us. And lots of things are done for us in that household. And we can sometimes just stop striving.
As men, we do have the kind of responsibility that we have to make it through, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's a good thing, but let's trust a bit more God. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes we just forget what he can do.
Very good, very good. And so just tell me, are there any Bible characters or passages in the Bible that really speak to you, maybe over and over again, or that have really touched you in your past?
Yeah, I would go without thinking, honestly, to David.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you why. You know, out of many characters in the Bible, about David, we know so many things. In details of his private life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And differently than some characters in the Bible, we see when he struggled and we see when he was actually in his bed crying, you know, and things like that. Thinking of David, I do realize my human nature and I do realize that no matter what, I'm accepted. And exactly as David, what strikes me about David, I remember that at the end of his life, he makes a prayer. A kind of statement, and he says, I'm the righteous one, or, you know, start saying things like that. But knowing the life of David, you would go like, is he serious? You know, he wasn't righteous at all in certain, you know, parts of his life. But the thing is, every time he was making it wrong, he was just going back. He knew the route back to the Father's house, and he was just doing that. You know, in our lives, we struggle. We don't even forgive ourselves, depending on what's happening in our life.
Yeah, yeah.
When we should just go back to the Father's house. And he knew that.
He did.
What I want to do in my life, and this is an example for me. Every time I make it wrong, I don't want to be stubborn and, you know, keeping going around and around in my mistakes and beat my back, you know. I just want to go to the Father's house straight away. And because this is what he was doing. And, you know, funny enough, after all he's done, he was counted as the man after God's own heart, you know?
Very good. So, you know, the David's capacity to pick himself up from like a failure or a sin and turn himself back to God was really the thing that made him that man after God's own heart.
It's incredible.
So yeah.
Absolutely.
And all of us as men need to learn that skill and to sometimes just eat some humble pie, not be so stubborn. And, you know, like in the prodigal son, where it says he came to his senses in the far off land. And I think spiritually for us as men, coming to our senses is just simply realizing we just need to trog our way back to the Father's house, isn't it?
Absolutely, really? 100%. Yeah. Sometimes, depending who we look in the Bible, some of those characters, they look too holy and, you know, nearly unreachable.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some people saying, depending what they were facing, oh, but I'm not Jesus, you know. If it's about, I don't know, about forgiveness or whatever, you know, people say, oh, yeah, but I'm not Jesus. I can't do that. That's like too much of a high request, you know. You know what? Just look at David. You know, he was a human being, as we are. If you don't feel you're that hyper-spiritual man, look at David. He wasn't, but he knew, you know, how to go back to the Father's house and to make it right.
Very good. And he was also somebody who had an unusual mixture of gifts as well, because he was a really good soldier. There's no question he was a good military leader. And yet at the same time, He had a musical side to him. He could compose psalms. You know, he had quite a sensitive side to him as well. It was able to speak to God in a poetic way. So an unusual mixture of things and a very appealing person.
Absolutely.
You know? My wife Chloe and I were chatting this morning about how, you know, it's I think the prophet Samuel is sent along to anoint, you know, the next king of Israel. And, yeah. and the Jesse's sons are there and David isn't there. He's out in the field. And it's all about how God looks on the heart and not on the appearance, because each of these brothers looks impressive.
But absolutely.
But it's not that God is looking for. He's looking for an inner heart condition, isn't he?
100%. 100%.
Yeah, very good. So David's like a kind of key figure for you then.
He is. He really is. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for that. That's great. Great to hear that. And I'm sure that what you've said about David will really encourage so many men listening. And many men, of course, listening will find David as an inspirational hero as you do. Mm-hmm. So that's great, Luca. So we play a little bit of a game here on the Discipleship for Busy Blokes podcast where we spin the wheel. And it comes up with random categories. And we put you on the spot and you just need to say something about whatever that category is. Now, I've shown you the categories beforehand, so you've had some thought time on it. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what comes up. We'll spin the wheel.
Let's
and
do it.
We'll give it a go. So hopefully you can hear that on the thing. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, I've cut it off a little bit quick, but it came up with game.
Oh.
So for game, it could be either a game that you watch, like a, mm-hmm. like sport on the telly. Mm-hmm. It could be a game you play, maybe a console game. Or a game with a family. Just tell us, or a game maybe you went to see. Tell us about a game that springs to mind.
I absolutely love football.
Football,
I grew up playing football in the streets, you know, and it's really my thing. But to be honest, since I moved to the UK, I kind of lost that cheerful atmosphere around football. Because I used to watch it with my father, with my brothers-in-law, and I used to fancy a team, you know, back in Italy. Now I find myself in a completely new country. I'm like, okay, you know, where do I start this from? So I'm not really following any much anymore football in TV, but I do play FIFA.
FIFA.
On PlayStation. I love it.
Are you good at FIFA as well?
I am tremendous. You don't want to play against me.
My son George likes FIFA on his console as well. And he's always trying to invite me to play and I'm so useless. You know? He just hammers me really hard, you know, and I'm like, oh, that was painful. No, so.
We definitely need to have a game together, Nick.
That'll be interesting for me to watch, you guys playing each other. And also, you a couple of years back, you organized a great five-a-side for us.
Oh, man.
Which we joined in. And then we all spent the next week hobbling from, which is very funny.
Yeah,
great. So you like your football?
That's good. Yeah, I love it.
Nice one. That was the end of that one. That was because I cut it off, and now it's finishing.
That's fine.
let's try another one. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
So we'll see what it comes up with. I'll try and let it finish applauding you this time. Aha. Okay. So we have app this time.
Mm.
Is there an app that you've got on your phone that you would swear by, that you'd say, oh, this is just superb. You've got to use this app.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the most useful app, this might sound a bit predictable, but it's the truth.
Okay.
Is actually a guitar tuner.
A guitar tuner. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah? It just helps you tune your guitar.
You know, no matter where I am, I have that in my phone, and that works brilliantly. There are so many new ones, but that's the one that I always use. It's a reproduction of a Boss pedal, which is an actual physical pedal for guitars.
Okay,
it works brilliantly.
Just tell the guys listening the name of the actual app so they can download it off the app.
It's called Boss.
It's called Boss.
Boss Tuner.
Boss Tuner. There you go, gents.
That's
if you need to tune your guitar, Luke has given you the best advice there.
So good.
Time for one more.
Yeah, come on.
Let's do one more. There we go. And we'll see what this comes up with this time. Okay, we have Life Hack. So a life hack in English, just in case you don't know, a life hack is a really cool way of doing something better or faster or easier than most people. Mm-hmm. And then when they see it, they go, oh, wow, that's just such a great way of doing that.
Okay.
Any thoughts on a life hack that you can share with blokes out there?
Wow, this is a difficult one to think of. I'm very handy. Like, I love crafts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if I can think of something that would say, oh, do this this way, I'm not sure I can think of anything.
Ah, now actually I can help you because I've I know this sounds a bit arrogant of me, but I just realized you have a great life hack already, which you actually ride to church sometimes. Tell blokes about your scooter. You've got the most amazing scooter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the electric scooter. Yeah. Come on, tell blokes about that. Where did you get it? How fast does it go? What does it do for you? Because it's very good.
That's an electric scooter.
That wasn't listening, guys listening, that was not a setup. That literally just popped into my head. I honestly just thought that. They're all going to be really suspicious now that I'd set you up for that question. I only just remember that. Go ahead, tell us about
the scooter. Yeah, I've got this scooter. It's called Pure. It's very good, to be honest, and it changed my life.
How has it changed your life? What difference has it made?
It takes me to the train station very, very quick. I used to walk a lot.
Yeah.
So this takes me to the train station very quick, and I mounted on it a little handle for my son as well.
Oh yeah.
So you know, my wife can.
You're on that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So my wife can take the car. She can do whatever she wants. Oh, yeah. And if I need to do something, I'll just take my son along and just go right
in front of you and have his own little handlebars in front of him.
Yeah, exactly.
How fast does it go?
It goes about. It nearly gets to 30 miles per hour. It's 26 miles per hour.
So it can really fly along.
Yeah. It's good.
Very good. And what's the charge and the range? You know, how long does it take to charge up and how far can
it takes
it take
4 hours to completely charge. Mm-hmm. But the life of the battery, I mean, the
distance you can go.
Yeah, the distance you can go changes in relation to the weather. Oh, incredibly, okay. Mm-hmm. So if it's warmer, it lasts longer.
Okay.
Right now, it lasts, I don't know, no more than 6 miles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It usually can go for 18.
Oh, okay. So the cold weather reduces the
output
a little bit.
Okay. But it's a very useful thing to have, guys. Oh, nice. So
especially in an urban environment where you need to get around quick.
Perfect. No. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure around Birmingham, if you're from Birmingham, you've seen many of those oranges ones.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, having a scooter is That's good.
That's brilliant. Well, there's a life hack right there. Just get a scooter, guys. That's really good. Luca, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you on the podcast.
Oh, would you mind
Would you mind closing in prayer for us all? Is that all right?
Absolutely. Not a problem. So, Father God, I thank you for this opportunity that you give me to spend time with Nick and all the blokes that are listening to this, Lord. I just pray that you would touch every one of us, Lord Jesus, that you would increase the sense of nearness to you, Lord. Would you make yourself that in a way that we can feel that you're near to us, Lord Jesus. Whatever we are facing, as we said before, as men, sometimes we prefer to hold the grip tight on things and we want to solve things ourselves. But would you help us trust in you more and more? And I want to pray for everybody that is listening right now, Lord Jesus. Would you give us faith? Would you give faith to trust you and to let things go? Things that sometimes we don't know how to approach or solve or to navigate through. Would you help us just giving those things to you, Father God? And help us grow in that, because in that we'll find rest, we'll find peace. And I also speak peace to each and every man that is listening today that it's struggling with different things in life. This is a different season that we're living in. So would you please be next to us, within us, around us, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name I want to pray. Amen.
Amen.